morning, church family, would you stand with me and would you worship the Lord God with us today?
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing when I
so good to be together on this cold Sunday morning, right? King David, the mighty king of Israel, he prayed this prayer: may God be merciful and bless us. And then you look to the character of Jabez. He prayed this: oh, that you would bless me. And then Jacob, he wrestled with God, vowing, I will not let go until you bless me. We're all in need of a blessing, amen? Last year, 2023, was an amazing year with so many blessings of the Lord. And now here we stand at the beginning of a new year, just like these men, saying, Lord, we need you to bless us, our families, our home, our church. So as we sing this next hymn, it's a familiar hymn, have that prayer on your heart today. Lord, bless me indeed. It goes like this. Come, thou fount of every blessing, and tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing that call for songs of the loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, the mount of thy redeemed love. We need your blessing, O God. Sing this out. I was lost in utter darkness till you came and rescued me. I was found by all my free. Now my soul can sing anew. say it a lot to each other. God bless you. Before you are seated, turn to your neighbor and just say, God bless you. God bless you good this year. So we have baptisms every service this morning, and the water is warm. That's a blessing. But can we just give God the glory and the praise for these lives that are changed, being baptized today on this cold Sunday morning? Let's turn our attention to the baptistry.
Well, good morning, church. This is Addie Job, and Addie gave her life to Christ this a couple of summers ago at summer camp, and she's coming today to let you know that she's a follower of Christ and following in believers' baptism. She drives every Sunday from Blue Ridge, and getting to hear her testimony, she's already started a small group in her school, and just seeing her how she's starting to talk to her friends about Jesus, it's awesome to see that in your life, Addie. Addie, I've got one important question for you. Have you repented of your sins and asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Based on that profession of faith in Him as your Savior and Lord, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Awesome, church. This is an awesome baptism as a father and son coming. This is Blake Wade. And Blake had given his life to Christ at summer camp when he was a child. And he never followed through with believer's baptism. And he had a chance to have his son in our new Christians class. And we began to talk about baptism and following in believer's baptism. And he never had that opportunity to do that. And he wanted to do that with his son, to follow in believer's baptism. Blake, I'm so excited for you, my friend. I've got one question for you. Have you repented of your sin and asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Based on that profession of faith in Him as your Savior and Lord, it's my privilege to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Right here. That's good. And this is his son, Ryan. Ryan gave his life to Christ at summer camp and came home excited, on fire for the Lord, and his parents knew the important next step. They got him in our new Christians class today, and he's here to let you know that he's a follower of Jesus Christ, and he's excited for this next step. Ryan, I got a question for you before we do that. Have you repented of your sins and asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen, brother. Based on that profession of faith in Him as your Savior and Lord, it's my privilege to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
We experienced a phenomenal year as a church family in 2023. Our focus was on Christ. Our fellowship was in Christ. And we know that as we look toward 2024 and beyond, our future is with Christ. And we just want to say thank you, Preston Wood. Thank you to everyone who served in our many ministries. From the parking lot ministry to the media ministry, from the preschool ministry to the senior adult ministry, from PowerPoint ministries to the Preston Wood Pregnancy Center, from sports outreach to missions outreach, and so much more. Blessed with a growing number of new families at our North Campus, we follow the Lord's leading to expand our facilities. Thanks to the commitment of our church family to be part of this initiative through their giving, in August, we celebrated the renovation of the Worship Center and a new space for the kids' ministry with record attendance. Also at the North Campus, Preston Wood Espanol continued to reach many in that region with a still very young Saturday evening service and is thriving with some 2,500 people worshiping among the three campuses each weekend. But the reach extends beyond the church walls, as nearly 2 million Spanish-speaking people in North Texas hear the message through television, with another 200 million in 59 countries. Founded in 1994, our radio and television ministry, PowerPoint, is seen on television in 113 countries, while the radio message is heard in more than 800 cities. The online presence continues to grow exponentially, which includes the Bible in a Year with Jack Graham podcast, launched in 2022, that now has more than 35 million downloads all over the world. Prestonwood Christian Academy continues its incredible growth on two campuses, celebrating 27 years of partnering with parents to raise faith-filled lions. PCA in Prestonwood once again hosted the Biblical Worldview Conference in September. More than 4,400 at the conference heard from world-class speakers and participated in sessions to help train, equip, and motivate them in their Christian identity. As part of our Christian identity, we are to stand firm for the sanctity of life. The Prestonwood Pregnancy Center was founded 32 years ago to protect the lives of the unborn and to share Christ's love to women who need support in critical times. In November, we were pleased to announce a wonderful partnership with Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary to open a center on the Fort Worth campus in the spring of 2024. Our heart for the hurting extended to the people in Ukraine and Israel impacted by war. Our church family gave more than $620,000 toward humanitarian relief in these regions. More than 5,000 of our members served on missions throughout North Texas. More than 770 served in a dozen states, and 560 served on five continents. As a testimony of your witness on mission, we saw 842 put their trust in Christ, and we were blessed to celebrate more than 1,100 baptisms, including a record-breaking 191 baptisms in a single day. Through the 14 magnificent performances of the gift of Christmas, 901 decisions for Christ were recorded, and countless others we won't know of this side of heaven. What we experienced in 2023 says so much about our church, so much about our legacy, which is displayed on a wall in the atrium of the Plano campus titled The Prestonwood Story. We are so grateful to you, church family, for being intentional in your study of God's Word, accountable in your faith, and responsible in sharing your witness of the gospel. We praise God that He has allowed us to accomplish so much. And as we look toward 2024, Prestonwood, let's keep reaching. Let's keep learning. Let's keep loving until the whole world hears.
Amen. It was a great 2023 indeed. And I want to welcome everybody here this morning who is joining us as a part of our worship services here at Prestonwood. And for those who are tuning in online, we say welcome. We are so honored to have you here with us today. If we have never been introduced, my name is Connor Bales. I have the privilege of serving as the pastor here at the North Campus of our church. And as you just saw, we had an incredible 2023. And as we prepare ourselves for what God has for us next in 2024, it only seems appropriate that we take just a moment to celebrate just the lives that were changed and the way that God has grown our family of faith in the last 12 months here at Prestonwood. And so I want to just take a moment and ask all of you who joined our church within the last 12 months as a part of our family of faith here at Prestonwood, would you do me a favor? And if you joined our church last year, would you please come forward just for a moment? I promise we're not going to embarrass you, but I want everybody to see how God is moving in our church. So those who joined our family of faith, just come on with your families. If you would, just make your way up front. We're honored, yep, excited to have you guys here. Thank you, thank you. Just come on, we'll line up right here in front of the stage, right here in front of the room. So many are coming. We are so grateful to have you. We'll spread out, everybody. We'll bunch in here. We're family, so we're going to get close to one another. This is so exciting. And really, we take this moment in this service every year, as just an opportunity for us to be mutually encouraged. And so for those of you who have called Prestonwood Church your home for a long period of time, I want you to see just a few of the faces, right? We have three services, and this certainly doesn't represent every family that made the move to join us here at Prestonwood. But I want you, church family, just to see some of the faces, some of the lives that God has entrusted to us for the purposes of mutually encouraging one another, growing deeper in our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But I also want to talk to all of you new families that are a part of our family of faith here at Prestonwood. And I just want to say thank you. Thanks for choosing to come alongside of us and to journey with us, because I believe that we're actually better together. I believe that with all of my heart. And I am so encouraged that we are going to get to do this work of God, this kingdom work that advances things that will be measured in eternity, and that we get to do this together. And so I am so grateful to God that you were willing to say yes and to step into this journey along our side. And I believe with all of my heart that our best days are still in front of us. And so I'm so grateful and encouraged. And church family, I hope that you are encouraged. And let's just believe God for so much more in the future, as long as we stay close to Jesus and continue to pursue the things that matter most to Him. So I want to just pray a prayer of blessing over all of our new families. I'm going to ask our church family just to extend your hand toward the stage, because we want to pray for one another, believing that God has great things in store. Father, thank you for each one of these families. Thank you for what you are doing in their lives, God, and thank you for what you are doing in our church. With all of our heart, God, we believe that the best things are still in front of us. And so, God, I pray that you would pour out a supernatural measure of blessing upon these families as we walk together side by side, arm in arm, chasing hard and fast after Jesus. God, we thank you. And we worship you and we celebrate you for who you are and all that you continue to do. We pray and ask for even more, believing completely in your name. And so we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, let's celebrate these families that are a part of our family here at Prestonwood. Guys, thank you so much. You can return to your seats. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Listen, church family, a couple of things for your calendar as these families make their way back to their seats. Guys, I want to encourage you, the men's rally, our Awaken Men's Rally, is this Friday night. Join me and so many men from our church. Starting at 5 o'clock, we're going to have tender barbecue, and then beginning at 6:30 is the worship service. Now, this is happening on our Plano campus this Friday night, so make sure you join us, get registered, prestonwood.org/men. You can find out all of the information about our Awaken Men's Rally this Friday night. It's going to be a great night of worship and encouragement with guys chasing after Jesus, one with another. Also, many of you are relatively new to Prestonwood, and maybe you haven't taken the next step with us like these families did, but we want to encourage you. If you have questions about our church, you want to know, okay, what do we believe and what do we do? How do we fulfill the things that God is entrusting to us? What matters most to us here as a church? Then I want to invite you next Sunday at 10 o'clock is our next step class. And that will not obligate you to membership, but we would encourage all of our members to attend, because we think it'll help you understand a little bit more about what makes us move. And so we want to invite you to our next step class next Sunday at 10 a.m. And you can get registered online. You can call our church office this week, whatever it is. We just want to be able to personally connect with you. I'm going to ask our ushers to take their places as we prepare to receive this morning's offering. You know, church, we give as an opportunity to express in worship a gratitude toward God, who has in Christ Jesus been most generous toward us. And so I want to just always encourage you to be expressive in your worship to God. And our giving is an opportunity to do just that. Would you join me in prayer as we prepare to worship God through this morning's offering together? God, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. God, I pray now that you would take this offering and that you would use it to advance the ministry and the missions of our church. Father, I pray that you would allow us to be found faithful with all that you are entrusting to our care, and we believe there is so much more ahead. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you are doing and all that you are going to do. We love you and we trust you. And in faith, we ask this, believing only in you. In Jesus' good name, amen.
Thank you so much. Amen. You may be seated.
All right, good morning. Let's grab our Bibles and go to Joshua chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1. Now, as you're making your way there, just a reminder that our Wednesday night midweek activities resume this week. And what that means is for our children's ministry, all of our children's ministry activities will be as scheduled, okay? And so please make plans for that. A children's choir starts at 5 p.m. and then children's ministry event starts at 6:30. But for the rest of us, please join us in this room for our very first Wednesday night of worship, nights dedicated exclusively to prayer and praise. As you know, this is something God placed on my heart more than a year ago. I believe it could be transformative in the life and ministry of our church. And so I want to ask you to join me this Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., and we are simply going to spend an hour together praying and praising. That's it. So we're just going to get after God together, and I'm really, really, really excited about this. And so I hope you will make plans to join us this Wednesday at 6:30. As you saw from the bumper, when I was making my way on stage, we started last Sunday a new sermon series entitled Forward. We're navigating for maybe the next 10 or 12 weeks the book of Joshua, kind of learning a lot about biblical leadership and then how those principles are applied to your life and mine even now. And we know that Joshua is an epic book of history that gives this grand narrative on how God did a supernatural work in and through his people. And he raised up leaders in that season for specific purposes. And with the work that God did in and through them, there is so much for you and I to glean even now. But I always want to encourage you that context matters greatly, and that is the reason why last Sunday, as we started this series, I gave my best effort to try to summarize some biblical history that would set the tone for the right understanding of where we find ourselves in context as we start this journey with Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. It matters deeply that we know the background and the history so we can appreciate rightly what it is that God has done and then what we're going to see he will yet do, because backstory always matters. And Joshua has been raised up for the purposes of leading God's people courageously into this particular land of promise. And we talked about, we acknowledged there are things to learn before the journey begins, and then there's things that you can learn after God's dialogue starts and Joshua is then elevated into the position of the leader of the people of Israel. So some of the things that we learned on the front end were like, specifically, the wilderness is never wasted unless a person chooses to stay there. We all know we're going to have wilderness seasons in our life. There's just going to be times when it feels like we're wandering in the wilderness, things are difficult, and some of that is the result of our decision making, and some of that is the result of circumstances for which we had no control. But wilderness seasons, fam, are never wasted unless in our sin and by our rebellion we choose to remain there. Otherwise, God is using the learning in preparing us for the leaving that is to come. You with me? The other thing we talked about before the journey was that the preparation for the primary happens after the faithfulness in the secondary. So Joshua was faithful in the secondary roles. The Bible says he was Moses' assistant. He was with Moses in some of the significant spiritual moments. He went to battle for Moses, leading God's army with the nation of Israel as they went to war against the Amalekites. So we know he was faithful in the secondary. That's how God prepared him, made him ready for the primary. And some of us need to be reminded that if we'll be faithful where we are in the secondary, that God might then entrust us with what's next, which could in fact be the primary. And then as God's dialogue with Joshua subsequently began, there were some things that we could obviously glean from that conversation between Joshua and God. The first thing we know is that while men are going to die, the mission of God forever lives, right? So that's why we don't bank the eternal mission of God on the temporal nature of human men, right? Because we know that men die, leadership changes, but the mission of God will forever continue. It always goes on. Another thing that we took away, and I loved this last week, is that if God says it, nothing stops it, right? Remember his conversation with Joshua? He's like, every place your foot goes, I'm going to give that place to you, right? Like pretty confident a conversation that is had. And so if God says it, then nothing stops it. Why? Because it's a sign to God. And we'll talk more about that even today. And then lastly, as we close that conversation, really verse 5 is where we drew out this this last lesson for learning. And that is that the great promise of God is his presence. And it's an eternal promise. Jesus said in Matthew 28, I'll be with you until the end of the age. Now, you might think, especially if you are an Israelite, that the great promise of God would be the provision of land, or the great promise of God might be the power as they inhabit that piece of property. But no, the great promise of God is one that was made to them and still belongs to you and me, and that is the promise of his presence, right? Jesus spends a great deal of real estate in the Gospel of John teaching on the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is God with us, in us, promising his presence always to us. It's a promise that you and I cling to even right now. And so that sets the stage for us to continue this conversation. But I want us to back up so we can appreciate, again, in context, this dialogue between God and Joshua that is the start of Joshua chapter 1. Now, you'll remember God delivered the Israelites from Egyptian slavery. Moses was the leader that God had raised up to do that great work. Moses guides them even through a season of wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. But Moses wasn't the man that God had appointed to lead them into the promised land. And that's why Joshua is then elevated into that role of leadership. And so this is that transition of leadership between Moses, who was, and Joshua, who now is, God's man to lead God's people into this next chapter of what it is that God has reserved for them. So this is Joshua chapter 1, and I want us to back up and just start reading again through verse number 1. Joshua chapter 1, let's start together in verse number 1, and if you're there, say, I got it. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. And no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. It's a really powerful one-on-one conversation with God. And I don't have a lot of time to spend on this. We're really actually going to get there in 2 weeks. But I just want to remind you, fam, that you can imagine how Joshua would have a supernatural confidence, right? Because he is hearing directly from God things like, hey, be strong and courageous, because I promise you I'm going to be with you. I'll never leave you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to forsake you, right? So you can think, if you're not paying close attention, you could think, well, of course Joshua was confident. Of course Joshua had a supernatural courage, because he was dialoguing directly with God. Okay, let me love you well enough to tell you, we can too. We can dialogue directly with God if we will choose to open his word that has been supernaturally and divinely preserved for us. Like, if you want to hear from God, you're thinking, I'm in a season, I'm in a dry season, I never hear from the Lord. Open your Bible, right? And we'll talk about this more in a couple of weeks. But let's continue reading. The narrative goes on. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, how many of you would acknowledge that at some point, somewhere, coffee mug, Christian t-shirt, somewhere, you have seen this verse of scripture, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9? Yeah, so many of us. And we want to draw upon that imperative command that God gives to Joshua as something that maybe God is giving to us. And I will tell you, I believe in Christ Jesus, we can. But I want to talk about why. Because we're not the Israelites. We're not moving into the land of promise. We are the church, but God has also made promises to us. But I want us to talk about the reason why, as the church, we can be strong and courageous. Why we can be a people of strength and fearlessness, because in the same ways in which God is encouraging Joshua toward courage and toward strength, I believe in Christ Jesus, we can be a people who stand strong and who walk in great courage. Because the word for strength is the word fortitude. It's the idea of sturdiness. Like, think about a ladder. Like, if you're going to open a ladder or you're going to pull a ladder down from the attic, the first thing that you do before you take, if you're smart, the first thing you do before you take a step on that ladder is you make sure that it's locked in place, because you want to make sure that it is strong, that it is sturdy, that it has fortitude, so that as you begin to take your steps up that, it will bear your weight. And God's command to Joshua is to lock in, right? Be strong. Be sturdy. And he's going to give him the reasons why he can. He also says, be courageous. This word courage, it's the idea of fearlessness or bravery. Think about a fireman who runs into a burning building. Well, the imperative of God to Joshua, the one that I believe is ours in Christ Jesus, is that we too can have a courage, we can have a bravery, we can have a fearlessness. And we'll talk about how that is possible. And in a few weeks, again, I alluded to this a moment ago, in a few weeks we're going to talk about how it is that we pursue biblical strength and courage. Right? In verses 7 and 8, if you want to just read ahead, in verses 7 and 8, I believe that is the great giveaway for how we can pursue biblical strength and courage. But today I want us to see there is a source of biblical strength and courage. So if we're going to talk about how it is that we can pursue that in a few weeks, we need to first find out how it is that it is sourced. Where does biblical strength and courage begin? And so if you're a note taker, I want to encourage you to write some things down. The first is this: biblical strength and courage is sourced in God's promise. It's sourced in, it begins, it's founded, it's rooted. What word do you want to use? It is sourced in God's promise. I would say you could go back all the way to verse 3, but I'm going to show you again God reiterating this truth in verse 6. He says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." God commands Joshua that he can and he should be strong and courageous, because God says, "I've given you my word." God says, "I've made a promise to your fathers." And it's a promise that is contingent only upon me, that I'm going to accomplish this great endeavor. In fact, for those of you maybe who were raised in the church, or maybe even you have a limited experience with the church, but one of the things you grew up learning about was the promised land. That's how it finds its name. It finds its name as the promised land because God promised that he would provide a place for his people. This is why, as they move into Canaan, it is referred to as the promised land. And I want to draw your attention to the order of things, because I think as we think about the sourcing of confidence in strength and courage, it matters the order of things that God tells Joshua for the reason why he can be strong and show courage. Back up, if you would, to verse 5. Let's read verses 5 and 6 together, because I think the order matters. He says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." Now, notice that the promise of presence, right? What does God say? "I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going anywhere. Just like I was with Moses, now Joshua, I'm going to be with you." Right? So the promise of presence precedes, right? This idea of strength and courage. He says, I'm going to give to you, I'm going to provide for you this land, but I want you to know what comes first is my presence as you inhabit that. And then he gives the direction for strength and courage. In other words, because God says something like this, Joshua, I'm going to be with you. And because I'm going to be with you, I'm going to fulfill what I promised to you. And since I'm going to fulfill my promise to you, and you know I'm going to be with you, therefore, be strong and courageous. Right? So the idea of strength and courage, biblical strength and biblical courage, is rooted in the very promise of God. And what I would say for us, church family, is as you think about, no doubt you saw three times four verses, verses 6, verse 7, and again in verse 9, there is this imperative command for strength and courage. If you mark or highlight in your Bibles, you're going to want to circle those. But we need to understand how it is that we can be a people who draw upon that biblical strength, who draw upon that biblical courage, because it is founded, it is sourced, it is rooted in the very promise of God. And while we don't have a promise of land, in Christ Jesus, we're not a people who are absent of promise. We have promises that we can stand upon with strength and courage as well. So I'll just remind you of a few very easy to remember promises. What is the promise of Jesus in Matthew chapter 16? He's going to build his church. Didn't we talk about this a little bit last week? That the promise of Jesus made to the disciples when Peter makes the declaration that Jesus is Savior at Caesarea Philippi is upon this rock, upon this confession that I am Christ, I'm going to build my church and nothing, not even the gates of hell, are going to prevail against it. That's a promise. That's a promise that's reserved for us. So why are we unapologetically believing in the work of God's church? Because Jesus promised he's going to build it. It's the reason why we have so much confidence in it. What's another promise of Jesus? Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus promises eternal rest for your soul. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and I will give you rest for your soul. Right? Not rest from circumstance always. Not rest from situation, but rest for your soul. So the reason why we can have strength and courage is because we know that Jesus has promised some things to us as well, like he's building his church, like there's rest for our souls. Or how about the promise that Jesus is going to be with us as he builds his church and as we find rest for our souls? In Matthew chapter 28, what's the last thing Jesus tells the disciples before he ascends into heaven? He says, make disciples of all nations, baptize them. Name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Behold, I'm going to be with you. Jesus promised his presence to you and to me. And so what is the reason for our being a people who stand with biblical strength and biblical courage? Because we know that they're founded in the promises of God. Think about the differences that a promise can make. Like, I believe God's design, I believe biblically it's very clear to see that God's design and order for family comes by marriage. And the reason why I think this is so necessary for us to understand the covenant relationship of marriage is because it is so common for people to experience cohabitation today instead. But inevitably, when life shows up, and life is going to happen to everybody, whether you're married and in covenant or whether you're cohabitating. But inevitably, when life shows up, when difficulty happens, you're going to need to draw upon something. A marriage is founded on a covenant that is ultimately a promise that for better or for worse, for richer or for poor, and in sickness and in health, right? So I've had a number of couples come to my office and they're like, she's disengaged. He's so self-centered. I'm like, you made a promise. I get it. Like, that stinks, and we need to work on those things. But you made it. Your marriage is founded on a promise, and you understand that absent that promise, that it's so much easier to then be able to check out. Well, our lives, our confidence, in other words, our calling for biblical strength and courage is founded on a promise, but it's not a promise that I made to you or you made to me. It's a promise that Jesus made to us. And so it's the reason why we can be a people of biblical strength and courage. Here's the second thing that we can draw upon. Biblical strength and courage is not only sourced in God's promise, but it's sourced in his plan. It's like God has has always promised us provision. And because he's God, he's planned that provision as well. Just think with me, if you don't know the history of God's deliverance of the people of Israel out of Egyptian slavery, but before they moved into the promised land, there was like a divine GPS system that God established. A really cool way in which he guided them even day and night as they migrated from one place where they were to the place where God was calling them to be. In Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 and 22, give us a picture of this. It says, "And the Lord went before them," that's the people of Israel, "by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light that they might travel by day and by night." The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. That's God's plan unfolding. He promised he would provide for them. He's got a plan on how he's going to do that good work. Now, Moses and none of the leadership of Israel knew where it was that they were supposed to go next. But God had a plan. And his plan was, here's a cloud of smoke in the daytime. So in the bluebird skies, you'll see the dark black smoke. And here's a column of fire at night so that even as the night sky is pitch black, you'll be able to see where it is that I'm calling you to go. God always has a plan. It's important. Like, can you imagine, this is just a side note. Can you imagine how helpful that divine GPS would have been? Especially for some of our directionally challenged friends. Like, I'm married to that girl. And so I'll tell Mary, I say, You head south on Preston, and then when you get to El Dorado, you turn west. And she's like, oh my gosh, just tell me, do I get to the Chick-fil-A and turn right or left? I'm like, okay, right? I have a good friend of mine, his name is Jeff, and when he comes to pick me up at my house, I'll just look out the window. He's circling, I live on a circle. He's just driving around the circle until I can call him and go, it's the house with the white truck in the driveway, bro. Like, this would help them, right? Some of you are like, how do I get that? No, it's not an app. But it's an evidence of God's plan. And God's plan is it rooted in his promise. And here's the thing, that you recognize that God is never surprised by what happens to us, and he is never without a plan to provide for us. Like, I'm surprised all the time. Aren't you? Like, I didn't predict COVID. Like, I get surprised by things all the time, but God doesn't. And then when I get surprised, the plan that I had obviously has to be changed, but God is never surprised, and he's never without a plan because he's made a promise that is for you and me. And that's how we stand encouraged. Like, if God were surprised and if God were without a plan, he wouldn't be God. Like, I think sometimes we imagine the Trinity is in heaven and that something happens unforeseen in your life or in mine, and that we imagine in our mind that God is up there and the Holy Spirit's like, psst, Jesus, did you see that? And Jesus is like, I'm going to go tell the Father. He doesn't know. Like, if that were the case, he wouldn't be God. So how do we stand with strength and courage? Well, because we know that God has made a promise and he always has a plan, which leads me to the last, that biblical strength and courage is sourced in God's person. It's sourced in his person. I think this is my favorite reality, the reason why I wanted to conclude with this point, because the strength and courage that God commands Joshua to stand in and upon is founded in his person. In other words, Joshua's strength and courage comes directly from God. I love that God's counsel to Joshua wasn't that you be strong and courageous in someone or in something, but rather your strength and courage is in me. Like, it's eternal. It's not in the temporal. It's not in the here and now. It's in the eternal, that which has always been and always will be. How do we know that? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. What does the writer of Hebrews ascribe to the person of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchanging and incapable of fault or failure. And again, remember, this is a face-to-face dialogue. Like, God is having this personal, intimate conversation with Joshua, and he's staking his very nature and character on the imperative for Joshua to be a person of strength and courage. So how does that apply to us? Well, I would say go back to your three promises that we talked about a moment ago. Again, there are many more that Jesus gives, but I'm just going to show you three easy ones. Just go back to the three promises. Like, who does Jesus say is going to build his church? Connor? right? Brad? Does he say, no, he says he's going to build it. His promise is in his person. So there's great confidence. Like we're workmen in his church, but he's the architect, he's the builder. And that's why we can be a people who are strong and courageous on the ministry, the eternality of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know it's not up to us as to whether or not it gets built. Now that should give you a confidence and almost a freedom to want to go and to want to serve. Because when we mess up, not if, but when we mess up, we know that the advancement of his church doesn't stop because it was never about you or me. It's a church that he is building. Like, how cool is that? But what about the promise for rest? Like, I can't give rest for your soul, and you can't give rest for mine. And so the confidence that we have for strength and courage is that the rest, the eternal rest for our souls, is only in Christ Jesus. He does that. Like, I can't promise you that I'm going to be with you this afternoon. Like, you recognize, James 4:14 says that life is like a vapor. You know how easy that is for us to learn? Walk outside and go, ah. That's how fast our life is in eternity. It's like a vapor. So I can't promise you I'm going to always be with you, but that's the promise that Jesus gives to us. And it's not founded in your time or my time or whether he's there or she's there. It's in Jesus Christ who promises us he's going to be with us forever, right? And so it gives to us the reason why we can be a people who are strong and courageous, because it's rooted in the significance of the person, Jesus Christ. And having a person matters. Mary helped me flesh this out. She gave me two good reminders yesterday afternoon. And one of them was, she was reminding me that when she was pregnant with Catherine, who is our oldest, that it was obviously our first baby. And so Mary was nervous, and we had a really good a doctor. Mary's OB was awesome, and he had a great a way to kind of coach her and prepare her and had a plan with her. And so Mary had great confidence because, you know, she had her person. And so it didn't hurt my feelings, except, you know, I am her person too. But nevertheless, I know Dr. Crum was the one who was going to quarterback that thing. And now after five, I promise you I could deliver a baby. I'm just saying. But I know that there was this confidence because the plan and the promise was as good as the person who was going to be there to see them fulfilled. You with me? And so it is with us in Christ Jesus. The reason why we can be strong and courageous is because we understand that our strength and our courage draws upon the very promise and plan of God. It's rooted in God, and I thank God for that, because if it were rooted in anyone or anything less than that, then I think strength and courage would be really hard to come by. And so God made these promises to Joshua, and in Christ Jesus, there are promises for us. And so even when the culture begins to erode the biblical consistency for how God ordered and designed for humans to flourish, we stand with strength and courage. Why? Because we know that in Christ Jesus, he promises his presence, he promises rest for souls, and he promises that he is advancing, he is building his church. It's the reason why we need not shrink back. It's the reason why we can be a people today who find a supernatural strength and courage, because we know that that strength and courage is ours in Christ Jesus. But I would tell you, I think strength and courage are hard to come by absent of Christ Jesus. Like I would say strength and courage would be difficult to find if it's contingent upon self or circumstance, because you would agree that both of those kind of ebb and flow. And so this morning, I just want to ask you, I don't know where you are in regard to your own personal relationship with God in Christ Jesus. Everybody has to decide for themselves where you are and what you believe and to whom you belong. And I would say, I think strength and courage would be really, really difficult for any person to find absent a saving relationship by exercising faith and believing in the person and work of Jesus Christ. In fact, in just a moment, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. There may be some of you here who are guests with us this morning, and you're not necessarily familiar with the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Well, what I can tell you is in just a moment, our deacons will distribute elements, and we'll distribute two things, bread and juice. And those two things symbolize the body of Jesus, which was substituted on the cross in exchange for you and for me. And the blood, the juice represents a symbolic of the blood of Jesus, which was spilled, which was given so that ours might be spared. And here's what I would ask. It doesn't matter if you're a member of Prestonwood or not, if you're a first-time guest or you've been here for the last 15 years, but if you don't have a personal relationship with God through a personal faith in Jesus Christ, then I would ask you this morning, as those elements are being distributed and as those plates are being passed, then would you just reverently, quietly pass them to the person sitting at your side? Because I just think those elements are not going to have any significance for you if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'll actually explain in just a moment why it is we practice the Lord's Supper and what it is that is significant about this for us as a church. But if you don't have a relationship with God through your own personal faith in Jesus Christ, then please just reverently, respectfully pass those plates. But again, guests and members and regular attenders, anyone else who is here and in a right relationship with God through your own faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, please join us in the celebration of the Lord's Supper, because it's really, really significant for us to understand who God is in light of what He's done. So I'm going to pray, and when I say amen, our deacons will begin to pass the plates. And after the plates have been passed and everyone has their elements, then I'll come forward and lead us in the celebration of the supper together. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for who you are, God. I thank you for all that you've done. I pray this morning, God, that we would recognize our need for you. God, I pray for those who are here in the room with us this morning, those who are watching online that may not have a personal relationship with you. I pray, God, that you would call them, help them to understand the way you have made for them to have an eternal life, the forgiveness of sin, and they can enjoy you forever. And so, God, we thank you for loving us. Jesus is the great evidence that that is true. I pray now you would meet with us, and we ask it in faith, believing in your name, in Jesus' name, amen.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, and find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white. Heart of stone, Jesus.
couple of thousand years ago, Jesus and his disciples gathered in a small upper room of a home in Jerusalem. It was the week of Christ's passion, and yet Jesus was the only one in that room who knew what was to come. And so as they were getting ready to celebrate this meal, Jesus instituted what we are now celebrating here today, this Lord's Supper. And Jesus did so for the purposes of his church, always rightly remembering what he alone had done. And so Jesus that night took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which has been broken for you. As often as you eat of this, you do so in remembrance of me." And then Jesus took the cup. It was red from the fruit of the vine. And Jesus said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you. And as often as you drink of this, you do so in remembrance of me." And so Jesus, this morning, we do remember you. We remember your life lived in exchange for ours, your death atoning for the forgiveness of our sin, and your resurrection from the grave, granting to us life everlasting with God. We remember who you are. We remember what you've done. And so we pray, God, that you would move in our hearts as you move in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.